future we were promised. This is not the future we were counting on. This is not the world every boy and every girl envisioned. From the time we learned, we all were growing up.
Hi, Jinx and Chewbacca! Episode 78. That's the proper way to say that in American English. Oh my god. What are we doing here? It's been 3 weeks. It's been at least 3 weeks since our last episode. And I'm not joined by my standard crew. I am crewless. I've called in the reserves. I've been abandoned by Josh and Eli. I would like to take some time to talk about why they are assholes, but before I do that, let's bring in our guest host. Our guest host, the Hijinks and Super Reserves. We have Alex.
Hola, amigos.
Dynamite. Alex Flores, Brown Dynamite. And
that sounds like something you get.
That's Brown huge. Dynamite's Revenge.
Oh, they serve that at Taco Bell, don't they?
And first time on a proper setup, a proper microphone. All rise for Roger Court.
All rise, Bud Court is now in session.
Please be seated.
Wow. That's quite the upgrade from the kids' table.
I did a little honorable.
Let me
get that last one in there.
All rise, Bud Court is now in session.
Please be seated.
I thought about throwing a Roger over that, but it's just, fuck it. Roger Court is also joining us. Roger, the last time you were on the podcast, it wasn't the last episode, it was a few episodes back, and you were on the floor with a shitty microphone. And here you are at the captain's table, I guess.
Yeah, it's so nice to be at grown-up height.
You're off the card table, and this is actually sort of a card table that we're sitting at. So,
well, the pinnacle.
Yeah, it's like a bridge table. Yeah, it doesn't have the
pie cow.
Yeah. We're not gonna do any mahjong. I know we're not gonna do any mahjong. We had talked about it. It's not gonna happen. Josh and Alex,
no,
listen, not Josh and Alex. Josh and Eli. Look,
correction.
Don't get me started on how you two claim to be different people.
I've never seen him in the... Oh, no.
Yeah, you have.
From the floor.
We have this... Anyone who's listened to the early episodes of this show may recall that for like a year, I didn't believe Alex was real. Because most stories that Eli told revolved around my friend Alex, blah, blah, blah.
That guy.
I was imaginary for a while.
And then he would show me pictures of you, and I'm like, that's just you with a different beard. There's nothing... I'm not buying this for a second.
Photoshop is amazing.
And then... really is. And then you're here, so whatever. There's really no reveal. There's no big mystery.
Killed the myth.
I like it less now. I like you less than what I had built up in my head.
That usually happens.
Eli's
so few
delusion.
Live up to no. There.
Well, see, in my mind, it wasn't like, man, I hope the real guy is cool. It was, man, Eli's really fucking crazy. Like, he he needs some serious help, and he has imaginary friends.
That's
and,
true. All of the above.
Well, it's true. But it's not manifesting in the way that I had hoped.
He's not sick. He's just having a little banquet for all his imaginary friends tonight.
He's having a banquet for Vyrie, apparently. He was working a lot and thus unable to attend podcastery, and then apparently decided getting a flu would be the next best solution to get him out of the podcast.
What's next?
Death. So, or limb loss. Something like that. Josh, on the other hand, is just electing not to appear and claims that he will be too busy until sometime in March to come back. Wow. And he's not even working on the game that his company is going ape tits over.
So that's how long the treatment is going to last, is what you're saying.
He's been kidnapped by a right-wing fundamentalist organization in a van, and they are deprogramming him now for Jesus as we speak. Yeah. I think it's going to go well. I think he's going to find a nice girl.
Amen.
And speaking of vans, Roger, why is there a van parked outside my house?
Oh, man.
Why are there clowns painted on the side of it?
Is there anyone in that van that wishes they weren't in that van right now? Is there?
If they could talk.
Does your van smell like chloroform is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I got a little ahead on the way over here. No, it's actually a super boring.
Right into that, Mike. Sorry. Right into it. Just right in. All right. It's different than the baby table. This is big boy time.
Still getting used to it.
Chew with your mouth closed.
No,
share. We need to learn how to share. I know you're having trouble sharing. We need to share.
Hold the spoon correctly.
If you can't share it, then nobody can have it.
I want it all.
We're putting up
it's for me.
We're putting up the microphone if you can't share it.
No, the van. Yeah, we made this decision that we take a lot of trips, but that's not really true, but we kind of want to. So rather than having to rent something big enough to carry 6 or 7 people.
Of which you are not. You are 2 people. No, you and your wife.
We have a trip coming
up. They
want
to pick up hitchhikers along the way.
I see.
You start with 2.
I see.
Help pay for the van.
This is a murder. Okay, this is a road trip murder situation. Yeah. Okay.
I'm not coming back. The last time you're going to hear from me.
You can't litter the nation's highways with bodies in a Toyota Tercel or
right,
something.
Right, no. Okay. You need that capacity.
I see.
No, but yeah, so we're going ski, snowboard, tripping in about a month.
Tripping being the key word. Yeah. You're going to take a lot of acid. You're going to kill a bunch of hobos.
Not going to leave the driveway, okay. Actually.
After 3 months, you're like, oh, the blood. How many people did we kill? And your seatbelt's not even undone.
But, yeah.
Don't think that van has seatbelts, does it?
There are ways restraints to restrain yourself.
Restraints are not seatbelts. Okay. Yeah, you sacrifice a little safety for shoring up the back end of the detention area, as you call it.
Are you going to trick it out?
The fun zone.
are you going to pimp your ride?
Well, if you go up, if you get too close to it, it plays the ice cream theme song. So it's.
I've got big plans. That's not true. No, I don't.
So you're just leaping. You're just leaping head first into domestic situation. You're just let's get married. Let's get a house that looks like a Baggins used to live in.
Yeah.
Tell us what you were telling me before we started.
Yeah, my little anecdote is we looked at a lot of these before we bought the one we bought. Mm-hmm. And without fail, every single person we went to test drive or even just look at these vehicles,
mm-hmm.
not immediately, but without fail ask, So how many kids you got?
Mm-hmm.
And
how many are on the way?
Yeah, no, it wasn't. It was presumed that not only did we.
Are you purchasing children?
Well, we need a place to put them, so get our ducks in a row.
Should have asked how many bodies does this thing hold. Yeah, how many people does this thing hold?
What the salesman was saying is, well, obviously you, no one in their right mind would buy this vehicle unless it
willingly
was to cart around horrible sure. amounts of children. So.
And it wasn't for picking up chicks because you had your wife with you. So
the vehicle in itself is a burden. So you must be using it to haul your burden.
It's the only possible explanation.
You are going to sell ice cream, though. Right?
So far, you haven't given a very good explanation for why you would minivan yourself. That's okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Please.
I don't really have much of a defense, honestly. But I'll try.
Okay. Go ahead.
Well, we've got 3 cars right now.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We literally have nothing that can carry more than
3 cars.
Well, 4 counting the van.
So you wanted one to hold 2 of the cars.
That's right.
While you drove around, and then it would break off like what's that video game that's kind of like 1941 but in outer space?
Oh yeah,
the one that Josh loves. God, see, he should be here.
Raiden.
It's like Raiden.
Yeah. Oh,
so,
wow, yeah.
So you hit like 70, you hit a power up, and then 2 more cars break off, and then you have more guns.
Just deploy them out the back. That's right.
Okay.
Just take over the highway.
It's like a Spy Hunter in reverse.
Can we go to your house and have a derby?
I don't see why not.
Why didn't you get just one of those cars? One of those trucks they deliver vehicles to dealerships with.
I'm gonna need one of those eventually.
You could have people just sitting in the other cars. That's more capacity than a van.
I think this is literally like car number 6 in the past 12 months for us too. So it's
what are you doing?
I can't.
Are you just flaunting your vast wealth? I mean, but three Bentleys, a minivan, and
here's where it gets worse, though.
Okay, it gets worse
because like I was saying, we want to use this thing to take a trip, and we wanted to avoid the sort of money
again a spree. Not a trip, a spree.
Well, okay.
Okay. Yeah.
escapade. And and so we're like, well, we want to buy this van so we can take us and all of our friends.
A Chevy Escapade? Is that a vehicle?
Isn't that the one that Snoop Dogg designed?
It
or
is.
Something?
Okay. Oh. Okay. Good.
But and so, you know, throughout this whole thing, we said we don't want to spend a lot of money.
Do you talk in that voice?
Yeah.
When
did
you talk
actually
to your wife
say it like that?
Say it like that? You and your wife get together like, we don't want to spend.
That's what they said to all those guys asking about the kids.
Yeah.
We don't have kids.
We wanted to do that so bad.
I talk
we
like
never
an annoying asshole whenever we're talking about financial decisions. It's just a thing. It's a thing me and my wife do.
But yeah, so we bought this van.
She speaks in a racist accent. I won't tell you which race.
And if we're going to pack all of our friends up.
It's black. She talks like in a racist black accent.
She's not very good at it, though.
They're like, how many kids do you have? And she's like, kids, shit. That's all she says. then they tear your application up and leave.
That's right.
Go ahead.
But yeah, so...
eventually, we'll get to the end of this.
The inaugural trip of this thing is going to be us and four of our friends going to Colorado.
Uh-huh.
Long story short, the van's got 150,000 miles on it. And,
oh, God.
We think it'll make it.
Well, that's end of life for that vehicle.
We are...
So wait.
Reasonably sure we're going to be all
right. Wait a second. So this is going to be a Little Miss Sunshine type scenario where you're trying to go downhill as much as possible.
To the Rocky Mountains. I think that's
that's a good plan. Good plan. Good plan. You may, if you could somehow have it helicarried there, and then you could drive downhill back.
Sure.
Can you FedEx the van there?
I think we could use one of our other vehicles to tow it there and then abandon it.
I've seen that situation in reverse, not quite as you're describing it, but so this is not intended to be your all-purpose vehicle then.
No, it's a...
Then why are you driving it now?
You're trying to wear it out.
This is my shakedown.
Oh, you're trying to feel it out and see how it deals with the harsh roads of North Dallas.
I've got about 4 weeks to find out everything that could possibly go wrong.
You're looking for personality quirks.
So did you buy it with the blocks that it's on out there?
No, he's installing rims as we speak.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He's going to be ducking out every few minutes to
take a look.
Let him use my impact hammer.
That's right.
Well, congratulations on your new ride.
I feel
it is pretty sweet.
I forgot why we were talking about that or who would be interested in it. But I'm glad we did. I'm glad we know more about you. I'm sorry that we gave you a big boy mic. If this is what you're bringing to the table,
it's my A game.
Goddamn, I don't want to see your C game. Got some new silverware. Well, here's the deal. Listen, I know what you're going to say, but here's the deal. The old silverware, we just thought, you know what? Does this really go with our place settings? And you know the answer was no. The answer was it didn't. So here's what we did. Hang on. Don't get ahead of me. This is the thing I love about Roger Court.
All rise. Bud Court is now in session.
Please be seated.
Is that we share... You remind me of me... pre-children, which I think this is a good opportunity for you.
So his penis
I can
tighter
learn a lot.
Yeah, yes, his dick's not all trunked out.
Right, yeah.
Because he hasn't given birth yet.
Man.
He hasn't pushed a watermelon out of his pee hole.
So much to learn.
Yeah. So,
hey, brother, I'm carrying two people here, so.
you're drinking Dr. Pepper for two.
Yeah, I am.
I think this is a good opportunity for you to see how you can't give a shit about things like vans in Colorado after you have kids.
Sure.
So yeah, and cherish it. Cherish it now while you can. It's good for you.
I'm trying to get it in my system.
You remind me of me of the past. There's a life in your eyes that I haven't seen in the mirror in a long time.
Oh, man.
And an enthusiasm, just a general enthusiasm that I barely recognize.
Will to live.
Yeah, no, will to not end life, I guess. Okay, yeah, sure. Or end your own life. Yeah, no, it's good.
Were you buying vans before you?
Here's what we did. We made a decision to only have a child because it turns out it's such a crippling burden that, I mean, a joy. It's such a joy that you can't have that much joy in your life.
That was a joke.
Okay. I don't remember where I was going with that, but... We were able to maintain tiny vehicles because we only want to have one child. So Oh, there it is right now. The larva speaks.
No, I think that was Roger's van.
Someone escaping from the van. You guys, it was either a residual noise of the van or it was someone
inside the van.
Inside the van. Do you stand out on the highway going, can you help me get this couch in my van? What are you, about a size 14? Fake arm cast.
So you have one spawn.
Is she a big fat person?
So you could have smaller automobiles.
Yeah, no, that's why. Wait, no, hang on. That sounds crazy shallow. Hang on, let me find a way where that doesn't sound psychotic.
Not top of the list, but like, top
I got
five.
It. I got it. It was after we decided to only have the one kid that we realized we don't need giant vehicles.
Sure.
So we have two tiny cars. And in fact, we even realized that, you know, you go through, at least I do, go through these phases in adulthood where you literally start counting the amount of shit, like the items, the number of items in each room. And every room has more than 1,000 things in it. And you think, what the fuck am I doing? Like, this is crazy. And then you look out in the driveway and you have two. Some people have six cars. I only have two. And you realize that's kind of insane because I can't think of the last time both of them were in use. We take one or the other, and both of them are, one of them's less than 2 months old, and the other one is like, used was like 3 years old. They're essentially brand new. That's so wasteful. I don't know.
That's why I put a for sale sign on one of them before I came in.
Oh, here. Good.
And I took it off of the van.
I'm sure the guy, well, that's one of his ruses is, so how much you want for the van? You need to look inside.
Yeah.
You might want to come check out the carpet inside.
Hell, I think you could put both your cars inside Roger's van.
Well, that was the plan. Is we're gonna stow away for the trip. And I've got some power tools that he'll need for part of his journey. So
that's very necessary.
And I don't trust him to take them. I mean, it's difficult to clean bone fragment out of a skill saw.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is I actually just thought about how hard it would be to do anything to a person with a skill saw. That would be horrible.
Yeah.
Because the blade's really thin, so you just kind of blah, 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 and just goes back in. It's not.
Thought of the day.
Yeah, you're not going to. We just went one level deeper.
There you go.
I have one of every saw, I think I've mentioned before, and I don't use them anymore because, again, we have children. And there's two reasons for that. One.
What, did you just, like, let them run amok before? Like, I'm just going to turn on all my saws.
Sort of, yeah. Kind of. On a weekend, you would just kind of flip them all on and then look for something to put in them.
And just throw wood at them and see what happens. Yeah.
I like putting them on one end of the house and having them have a race.
Yeah, and then
see which one's going to reach the other end first.
Yeah. You throw money down and then, oh, no.
No. It's just like that. So it's more like a cockfight scenario. You make a circle out of chicken wire and then just toss them all in there. And they just go nuts. But no, there was two reasons for me to dial back my saw usage. One was you don't have time to do things you want to do after you have children. So that was typically optional activities that involve power saws. And number two was I kind of wanted to make sure my kid had two parents growing up, and I didn't realize how terrifying power tools are. Like, I could not just walk into a store and buy a gun today. Like, I could fill out paperwork, I could start the process, and then I couldn't buy like 50. You know, that would raise some flags. But like a fucking table saw or like a scroll saw, that shit's deadly goddamn weapons. I could go buy all of them right now. I could go to a Home Depot, get a credit card, get approved, and leave with all of their saws.
You goddamn right.
All of them.
I got a van you can put them in.
Yes, exactly. I mean, we've got this plan takes no planning. This is a two-step, like 18 minutes of prep. Maybe we got to locate some bungee cords. If not, we get them from the store.
Sure, they sell those there too.
It's terrifying how deadly those things are. I took the guard off my table saw because it kind of doesn't work with the guard on it. They basically cripple it. Yeah, they cripple it with the guard. So it's like, look, we gave you the thing to be safe. The saw is not going to work if you use the guard at all.
But don't take it off.
But don't take it off. You're not supposed to. But if you want it to work, you probably take it off. But you didn't hear that from us. You definitely. And there's like a picture, like a pictogram, like an IKEA instruction of a guy that's like, why is this so hard? And his eyes are crossed out. And it's like, because the guard's on it. And then like the guard...
His eyes are crossed out because he's dead.
That's after. Then the guard's not on it, and he's real happy, and he's like, "But don't do it!" I'm like, but I sure am happy now.
Pictogram.
And his wood is cut perfectly, and his arm is too. And but when you're standing face forward to that saw, the dangerous thing that, besides the whole concept of it, the thing that is most terrifying is that were you to fall on it. Like chest first, it wouldn't stop. It wouldn't even, it would zzz, right through you, like just fucking hot knife through butter or chest or sternum.
That's how Johnny Cash's older brother died.
And exactly, yes. But with much more, he was also in child labor and
he was pretty much making all the family's money.
Yeah, I would wager that my saw is in ways more sophisticated and possibly safer than whatever contraption he died on in 1912. But not much more so, and it's a little bit terrifying, especially the first time that you're ripping a piece of wood through it, and it catches a knot and pulls the whole board out of your hands, and that's you realize fun. How quickly that could have been all of you. It's just too. I don't know, man. I got kind of you get more cautious after children. Like wait. I know I used to juggle these things, but this could kill me. Let's do a little bit less stuff that could actually kill me.
Wait. This mountain of cocaine.
Well, let's look.
Would be great, no. But it probably will kill me. No, listen. So
you got to have simple pleasures. Life is for nothing if not simple pleasures. And that's not look, you can't give up who you are, you know? We're going to take a break and then be right back. But you are never gonna open me up, and you are never gonna make me give it up. No, you are never gonna open me up. Hijinks and Sue Podcast. Joel Watson from hijinksandsue.com, Alex Flores, art director of Dallas Observer. What is it, DallasObserver.com?
Yes, it is, Joel.
Whatever.
Just say it.
Roger Court from, you know, whatever the fuck he does. He buys vans. He's professional.
Used car dealer.
Professional used van aficionado.
Van enthusiast.
And no, I was going to say serial van murder enthusiast. Date rape murder enthusiast.
Therapist. It's filling, therapist, not.
Filling in for the absent godless sodomite Josh Jeffcoat and barely legal Eli Luna. You know, I was just thinking, why don't you pull out your phone and set up a timer?
Just
get a timer running.
Yeah, that was Eli's job.
Yeah, you know what? It fucking falls apart when people shirk their responsibilities.
I don't even know where I am right now.
It's impossible to count on people, you know? What were we talking about? We were talking about van ownership, power tool ownership, all the things. Being an adult's hard, you know? It just is. It's just a pain in the fucking ass, is as always. Our theme song is The Future by Spiraling at spiraling.net and Tom Brislin at tombrislin.com, as is all of our bumper music provided by them as well. I do want to send a shout out to a couple of fancy bastards that send me the sound effects that I now have. Let me just go ahead and pull these up real quick. I know Mutant Enemy sent me a few of them, and so did somebody else, and I don't have their name in front of me, so I apologize. That's a pretty shitty shout out. But now whenever I want to, I can do this.
Famous Dr. Wu, you done fucked up now.
And
I will shake this poisonous shit out of your little smacked up body if I have to.
And
put black dynamite. I sell drugs to the community.
Man.
Oh, see, Eli was not here for that. That is his favorite.
You know what Eli is? Jive motherfucker. he is a jive motherfucker. He also...
Freeze turkeys.
Needs to freeze turkeys. Because they're not going to stay. They're not... Look, Thanksgiving is a long way away.
Sure.
They need to appropriate that for an advertising campaign. Where it's like... Buy your turkeys now while they're cheap, and then
freeze turkeys.
What a valuable community message.
From Butterball.
Yeah. When you need a turkey, but Thanksgiving's far away, gotta freeze your turkeys every day.
Freeze turkeys.
I don't know. Listen, I'm going to give you guys a choice here. This is something I would think something a courtesy I would never extend to Josh and Eli. Since you are my guests, I'm going to give you the power of choice. There's a few things that we could talk about here. We've got one thing I think, Alex, that you may be interested in because it converges your interest. Kevin Smith's Red State.
Ah, yes.
And his decision to self-distribute and sort of a middle finger to the movie distribution industry. We've got that. We've got the Oscar nominees. We've also got the Razzie nominees. And if we don't go over those in the show, I might do that in a post show. What else we have? Or if you guys have seen any movies or anything that you want to talk about, I'm happy to open up the floor.
We can touch on Mr. Smith and Red State a little bit.
You know what I did recently?
What do you think, Roger?
I've got
What's
so
your
little
ruling
bit.
On that?
You have so little invested.
I'm for it. No, right.
Then Roger
no
Court.
No, next to nothing.
Roger Court is not in session. He seems to...
overruled.
I wish I had those. I need some overruled clips.
Well, what do you know about Red State?
I know.
All I know is that he's doing the Orson Welles route in distributing the movie, which is what Orson Welles originally was doing with Citizen Kane.
What do you mean by that?
Which is what Kevin Smith is doing.
I don't know the Orson Welles connection. I know how he's distributing.
Well,
it, but
it's just
the
same thing where he's going to basically take his film and go to different theaters and houses and say, "Hey, you want to show me a movie? Cool. Let's."
Hang on. We're back. Sorry, it was bedtime for the kiddo. Daddy had to put her to bed. So.
I'm glad we had that kick engaged so we could wake up.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. What were we talking about?
Red State.
Okay, so all I know is that he's taking it on tour, basically, but he's going to charge concert prices to see the movie.
Because you know he's going to be there.
Sure.
He's going to give a spiel.
It's going to be an event.
It's actually kind of genius.
I think it is a way for him personally, as a filmmaker, to take more money than...
Because he lost so much with Zach.
No, no, not just that. I'm saying, I think it's the kind of thing where, like, okay, I'm an independent musician. Me selling my record for $5 off my website to 1,000 people gets me more money than selling it through EMI to 200,000 people.
That you don't have that whole stipulation of having to pay back all the money that whatever record
right.
company
well, that's why
to earn out first.
Yeah, because typically you never pay that off. No, you have to make all your money through merchandise and touring. You never really get money for your album unless you're like Madonna. So
that's why I think this is going to be pretty genius, and we're probably going to see more of this sort of thing happening.
My projection of what's going to happen with this type of scenario, first of all, I don't think anyone else is going to do it. I really don't.
No one else is already established.
See, the problem is he walks a fine line between – He is somehow a millionaire struggling indie film director, and there aren't really a lot of those.
That's a pretty good image to cultivate.
Yeah.
Especially if you're trying to do something like this.
I don't think anyone else is in that position.
I can't think of anyone.
Even the people with the same sensibilities as him still have big studio backing. So I don't think you would be able to take a movie on tour unless you already had the high profile image that he's gotten from doing larger things. And I don't think people that have already cultivated a large image are going to go this route. I feel like it's sort of tailor-made for him personally. But what's going to happen is it means that far fewer people will ever actually see the film, but he may be showing it to just the right audience and making as much, if not more, money than were it to be released nationwide.
Right.
And he gets to circumvent the whole thing where it's like, well, you got to appeal to a wider audience and, you got to blah, blah, blah. And he's like, no, man, I made Clerks. What,
Yeah.
I know my audience and there it is.
It's kind of what it's the same model that I'm doing where I'm saying the stuff I make is not for everyone. It never will be. It's not supposed to be. So I'll show it to a few tens of thousands of people and that's the end, but it'll never appeal to a million people.
Do you want it to?
I don't care, honestly. Like I feel like at a certain point
difference. Yeah.
It would be unmanageable. I think if I had, let's say out of nowhere 5 million people like my stuff, I don't even know if I could manage that. But I mean, that's when you have to start hiring people and building a company under yourself. And I don't really want to. And I've listened to a lot of interviews with Kevin Smith, oddly, since Red State, since the announcement. He's been on a lot of podcasts I listen to and a few other things. And he mentioned, like you said, Zach and Miri broke him.
Yeah.
Completely broke him. He financially and mentally, he was convinced that it would be the first $100 million movie that he'd ever made. And not only did he feel like he let himself down, but he actually really regrets letting Seth Rogen down for him making like five hits in a row and then a complete flop. And then,
but a flop in the eyes of big Hollywood, as far as
that's what he was trying to do. He said specifically. He said, holy shit, Judd Apatow is doing $100 million with the stuff I've been doing for years. He's legitimized this. Yeah. So now's my chance to hop back on the train I started, basically. And it didn't work.
But you know, that never works.
Well, there was a lot of things that killed that movie. The marketing made no sense. They were trying to market it to a lot of different people when it was really only for a specific audience. And it did not have, even after seeing it, it wasn't the mass appeal of a Judd Apatow type movie. That element was not in Zach and Miri Make a Porno. I still feel like it was a Kevin Smith audience. And then reaching out to like maybe another 5 to 10% of fringe people that maybe weren't super into him but were familiar enough to get it.
Those are the people that were brought along to the movie by
exactly.
the fans.
Exactly. Yeah. But I do not think this was a hangover type crowd or a knocked up type crowd that is gonna enjoy this, you know, this sort of broad dude comedy, which I mean, right. I like those movies because they are typically quite funny.
Bromance.
They have people I like in them. They're typically well written, and but they do. There is a much bigger appeal in those. I think there's several levels, so that I get a few of the, you know, maybe nerdier references or more subtle jokes or whatever. But then there's a lot of farts and balls and dicks and stuff and crotch shots for your typical bro to enjoy. And even though his movie kind of had that crudeness too, I just don't think. I don't think it was packaged in such a way that your typical jock type frat guy would really dig it that much.
Speaking of bros and dicks and balls and packages and jocks.
Always. More.
Did you see his latest? Like yeah. Did you notice that too? Did you see his new stand up bit that he did on his like 40th birthday?
Yeah, I was actually going to bring that up. Okay, Too Fat to Fly.
Yeah, I just saw that too, and the whole deal with the. The dollar amount on his head, as it were, getting a photo of him,
yeah,
which made him stop flying,
yeah.
altogether.
Yeah, that
I thought that was interesting.
What we're talking about is he did a Kevin Smith has a couple of they're not stand up, but it's kind of stand up Q&A specials.
Yeah.
Evening with Kevin Smith, Evening with Kevin Smith Part 2, Evening Harder, and here's the thing about Kevin Smith and me personally. I'm not the biggest fan of his movies. I'm a big fan of him as a dude.
Yeah, I like him as a guy. A lot.
He's a good guy. Yeah. You know, I very much enjoy his sensibilities. I enjoy his storytelling when he's literally telling a story, not writing it down.
He's a great storyteller.
Excellent. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think he realizes it, but he structures all of his stories as long form stand up anyway. So he may not be a stand up comedian, but he's as entertaining as one.
He's like our modern day Mark Twain
in a way, because he's kind of an everyman
has commentary on, you know, the world and what's going on,
but he has a very particular point of view.
Sure So did Mark Twain.
That's true. I don't think his eventual contribution to the cultural lexicon will be as important.
But history will determine
that. His stories are quite fascinating, and his life is pretty fascinating because he's just a typical douche. And I don't mean douche like as in a negative. He's just your typical geek. Like he's a typical fat geek.
7/8 douche.
But yeah. But he's on his mom's side. But he has lived a pretty amazing last 20 years of his life. He's been very close to some things that most people will never experience. So he's got good stories. And on this special, it was his 40th birthday. Right now it's streaming on Netflix, and that's how I saw it.
I watched that from home during one of our many snow days last week.
I think that I was do, too, actually. Yeah. I would say a big recommendation for me to watch it. He starts it off by saying it's not going to be like the other ones. He's going to answer a lot of questions, as many as possible.
He answered like two questions.
One person. What? Did you see it too, Roger?
No, I didn't. But.
One person asked a question, and he talked for an hour and a half.
It was amazing.
Yeah. A great story. The story just kept folding in on itself and eating its own head until it was over. And he talks a lot about what it was like to direct Bruce Willis and what it was like to get involved with big Hollywood and realize he kind of had no place there, and how devastating it was that Zach and Mary wasn't more more popular, and then how his sort of Fatgate scandal with Southwest, like how that started, how it blew up, and then what it changed for him. Like, he ended up renting prom vans to travel in because he would not fly. He didn't want a tour bus. He didn't want to take cars like to Canada, so he's literally in like a party van.
That was a funny story.
I like the cut of his jib.
Yeah, this is a common thread into, for you guys.
Me and this Kevin Smith guy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't. Yours doesn't have a stripper pole, right? But it could.
Yeah, I mean,
upgrade opportunity.
Sure. Yeah.
And then the oddest thing I think for him is looking back at his whole career. Most people assume he's always been a stoner.
Oh yeah, that whole aspect was actually.
It's kind of fascinating.
I knew he wasn't, but to find out that
he became, in the last 2 years of his life, at 38, he became a wake and bake stoner.
He pretty much went from
nothing
to king of potheads.
All waking hours.
Overnight.
All waking hours. He did, and it was within the period of a few weeks. He was like, I'm going to let myself smoke after 6 p.m. After a hard day's work, I can reward myself. And then one day he was like, what the? Oh, that's what it was. Actually, the numbers came out for Zach and Miri. Yeah. And he woke up and his wife was staring at her laptop, and he's like, oh, the numbers come in. And he looks at her and he's like, I'm gonna go smoke weed at 9 a.m. Like, so I will see you later.
It. I'm going right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even before that, he was like, I'm going to wait till 6 at the end of the day. I deserve it. Not unlike having a glass of scotch. I worked hard. Then he realized, well, you know, if I just kind of work harder in the morning, get everything done by noon, I don't have to wait.
It's a battle.
Sure. Yeah.
It's an internal battle over the course of a few weeks that he loses and then wins, I guess. I don't know. But it's interesting, though, because he's sort of always been this king of stoners, and he wasn't. And
now he is, and you can see it on him, too.
Yeah, I mean, he's evident.
He's one of those guys that I feel like, first of all, you know, I don't even want to get into the fact that if it's legal to drink yourself to death, I can't believe it's illegal to do something that's not quite as dangerous. But, not nearly as dangerous. And, you know, you're awarded freedoms to make certain choices for yourself, but not very similar choices. It's very bizarre, but whatever. But he said, you know, I'm an adult. I can make this choice for myself. I'm going to smoke a bunch of pot. That's my choice. And the lifestyle shift for him seems to have been mostly positive, if not in some ways demotivational. But I almost don't think for him it's a problem.
Because he already had those problems before.
Yeah. I'm not so sure that there's a downside for a guy like him.
Overeating the laid back.
But see, for him, that was one thing too, that like he ballooned over the course of like 2 years.
Always fluctuate though. He was always fluctuating for roles, and
he's like 4 bills now. And
oh my lord.
Wow.
And he wasn't, you know, it's probably been 4 or 5 years, but he sort of doubled in size pretty quick there. And it was right after he knocked that toilet off the wall at a restaurant that he lost a little bit of weight, but The one of the stories he tells is how there was a bounty on a paparazzi forum, $10,000 for a picture of him sitting on a bench looking sad.
No, he's not Keanu.
Like Keanu.
Yeah, and then 20,000 if he's eating a big sandwich.
Yeah, because after the whole Southwest debacle, you know, he was pretty hurt by it and stuff, and he's like, "Oh fuck this, I'm not going to fly them anymore." And he said what he was doing is his what happened in the show. If you watched it on Netflix, the show, you know, kicks off to start. Everyone's cheering. Yeah. And someone shouts out, "Fuck Southwest." And he's like, "Ah, ha, 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 ha. Yeah, that's great. Actually, no, don't fuck them. here's the deal. I don't fly anyone anymore. And then he brings up the whole bounty thing.
Because he realized he would be sitting. Oh, it was it was sitting in a tiny chair. That was the first bounty. Second bounty was tiny chair plus big sandwich.
Well,
and he said, that's basically me in every airport. So it's going to happen.
He's like, no, I'm not going to put myself into that situation.
And then as soon as he started telling that story, I was like, why didn't you just take the picture and send it to him? And then he brings it up. He's like, I almost did. And no, my self-respect is worth a little bit more than $20,000. But
enter the prom vans.
It's a really good story. Even I feel like I want to encourage people that maybe even really don't like his movies to watch this and his other specials, because he's just got this sort of every geek perspective on the big giant Hollywood machine that you don't normally hear.
And
I really appreciate it. But what was funny is right when I saw that, he was on the Nerdist podcast. He was on What the Fuck with Marc Maron. And managed within the same week and didn't do any overlap. Like, he managed to tell different stories on both. And I don't know, man. He's just kind of a fascinating dude. And he's got that attitude of, like, he's sort of like a webcomic type guy on a much bigger scale. Because whereas it's like, I'm looking for 20, 30,000 people to peddle my laughs to, he's looking for, you know, 1 million, 2 million people. In an audience which is typically tens of millions or whatever. And people say, fuck you, you just keep making the same thing for the same people. He's like, I know. Like,
yeah, that's
what I like.
They like it. I like it. I'm rich. I win. And you lose.
And he's
like,
good at it.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of a good business model. You know, well, perfect what you are good at for the people who want it and keep doing that.
I think the thing is that What I do with, and what a lot of people do with comics, and what people are doing now with music with very specific niche audiences, you haven't really been able to do with movies.
Yeah, I think he's kind of prototyping this model. And
I think the last piece of it was breaking the distribution racket, because, you know, starting about 5 years ago, you could make a movie for like $50,000. Maybe not the best movie, but a movie, whereas that was impossible a few years before that, you know? You can get a Red camera for like $25,000, and then the number one expense of making a film goes away. I mean, film stock was the most expensive thing about making films.
And you had to be real careful with it, because you had to know, you had to plan out your shots.
It was super delicate.
Yeah. Nowadays, they're like, no, just keep going. Improv the whole damn movie. It's great, because it's all electrons. It doesn't matter.
But if you know people that work with those now, the Red is the most common. Most of the shows you watch that are shot digitally are shot on Reds, and they break constantly. Mm-hmm. So you basically have to have like a technician on staff to fix them. I've heard a few people refer to it as like, oh, it's a Red moment. Like, Red moment shuts everything down, got to fix the Red, you know? But still better than film.
Yeah.
And they just keep making cooler and better ones. So that barrier is kind of gone. And then, you know, still you got to have talent, you got to have a vision, you got to be creative. But those are things that don't necessarily cost money.
And answer me this, Joel. I don't know if you've heard of this site called Kickstarter.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah. We ran an article about that in terms of local bands using it to, and I'm just riffing off of this whole idea with the movies. And I hadn't heard of it until this article came out. And I was like, oh, shit. And they're like, no, it's not just for music. It's for anything.
Yeah. There have been some amazing success stories on Kickstarter. A few webcomic people have used it. And the reason I never did was that the margin of financial error it typically when webcomics do it, it's for a book. And so a lot of people were going to use it for raising money for their book. And I knew a guy, Gordon McAlpin, does a comic called Burp, does a comic called Multiplex, and he raised all of the money for his book on Kickstarter. And another friend of mine, Spike, does a comic called Templar Arizona, same thing, Kickstarter project. She did it really early on. She needed like $7,000, but there's no cap. She actually raised like 15. Yeah. So that's sort of a big success. But for me, like, I needed, you know, like $7,000-$8,000 or whatever. Well, if I got exactly how much I needed, they take a really big chunk. They charge through Amazon. So you're paying Amazon's fee, which is like 3%. Kickstarter takes another 5%. Mm. So you're down 8%. I mean, you're almost down a tenth of your money. If you just hit your goal, I would be out. Gotcha. And so I was scared of it. Yeah. Even if the fees are tax deductible, which they are, but still, it was a little bit too scary for me. But if you went in looking for 7 and came out with 15, yeah, I guess I'd pay the 10%, you know? But it's impossible to know.
Yeah.
And so I did essentially their own model. This was the first time I did the book on the first Hijinks and Sue book. I just did it myself.
Yeah.
I basically took that exact same model and said, I need this amount. There's several levels of purchasing. Buy whatever level you want. There's like 4 different choices, and there's different rewards at each level. But I just managed the whole thing myself. The thing that Kickstarter does is they don't charge anyone till the goal is met. If you need 10 grand and you get one, no one ever gets charged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of neat, kind of nice. But like recently, these guys made a stand, what am I trying to say? A tripod mount for an iPhone 4 called the Glyph. And they had it like rapid prototyped, and they're like, here it is. They made their video, and they needed 10 grand. They ended up getting like $160,000 or something.
Yeah. Wow.
And so then now they've gone into mass production. And the big advantage to doing it through Kickstarter is they have their own sort of exposure network where they will promote the most popular products, and people like you are already looking at them for stories.
Yeah.
So as opposed to me being in obscurity, just trying to get people to sign up for my pre-order, there's a little bit more exposure when you're on the front page of Kickstarter or whatever. So, you know, I feel like it's something I might even use in the future. I just wish their fees weren't so high.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know there are films on it right now. There's albums on it right now.
It's crazy. I mean,
I think it's a very nice way to say, you own a piece of this. Like, if the thing you like becomes a hit, you can say it wouldn't have happened without
you helping.
Yeah, you can literally say that.
Yeah.
And if people want more, well, then, you know, fund it. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think the idea, there was one recently where these guys came up with, there have been a lot of them, but theirs was really sleek and machined out of aluminum. It was a watch band that turned the new iPod Nano into a watch. And theirs was crazy sleek, and it was going to be like $80 or something, but still. And they sold, it was like in the millions of dollars before it was over. And then they decided, holy shit, this puts us in a whole new bracket. We're going to redesign this thing and make it even better and more awesome and get it in stores and all. Because it was like, oh, we just got venture capital, basically.
Yeah.
And we don't owe anybody back for it.
Yeah.
Because what you do is, like, let's say the product is $10. If you pledge 50, you're spending your 10 and then giving away 40.
Right.
So they don't owe you anything and other than whatever they said they will give. Like, when dudes do it with books, it's typically like, you know, at $20, you get the book. At $25, you get the book signed. At $30, you get the book signed and sketched and blah, blah, blah. Then you get a button and a sticker and, you know, et cetera, on forever. And
sounds very familiar.
Exactly. My friend that did it did a bunch of different levels, and this was actually one of the things that frightened me. Gordon had like 10 different levels, and after I talked to him about it, we did a show together, and it had ended up in being so much extra work for him that it was adding like months of work to his normal schedule. Because it was like, if you pledge $500, I'll draw a whole comic for you, and if you do this, I'll do this. And I felt like those are the kind of things I would have done because I hesitate to you forget pretty easy in this little weird business that a donation is a donation for what you're already doing, for the work you're not getting paid for that you're doing every day. So you keep thinking, how do I compensate you for this donation, you know? And that's what he was
like,
doing.
Oh, wait a minute. I already am.
Yeah. I'm giving you free content every week. Right. And so I think there's a really easy way to get bogged down with trying to compensate people. So, you know, back to the original thing though. So Kevin Smith will be taking Red state to state, venue to venue. And I think he said something like, it's going to be like $30 to $70 for a ticket, which if you look at it like a movie, that's nuts. But if it's more than a movie, if it's a movie and a show and an experience, maybe not, I don't know. I remember him saying one of the quotes was like, people are going to come to my movie and pay 10 times what they will to see your fucking movie, blah, 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 you know, and
which,
people,
you know, is true. Maybe it might not be us, but there are bigger fans out there that definitely would
see. Yeah, that's my problem. I do want to see his movie.
Well,
come
but
out.
But I can't go see it for $60.
But, right. But then at that point, you just say, well, fuck it. I'm not going to go see it in the theater. I'll wait till it comes out on DVD. Because that's where he's made most of his money.
Kind of rather where I'd be anyway. I feel like I would like to see someone do that isn't Kevin Smith, so that they don't have this built-in audience. I want to know if that can be done by somebody who doesn't already have a million fans.
Well, it's not so much built-in. He's spent the last, what?
At this point. Yeah, let's say he's got a million fans, and a percentage of them are going to come out to this show. I want to know if somebody who just makes a really interesting film that gets a bunch of internet buzz can do this, because it seems like every time that happens, it just gets swept up and it just gets, you know, brought in by Hollywood. It just fucking District 9, you know? The short film that inspired that. The problem was, and it was still an amazing movie too. So, that's not a great example. Yeah, it didn't get ruined by Hollywood at all. So I don't know. But on that lengthy note, let's take a short break. Hi, Jinx and Sue Podcast, episode 78. Nearly 80 of these goddamn things. We're just discussing. I believe if you count post shows and uncuts and various other things, there's got to be at least 1,000 hours of bullshit committed to internet.
It's like 560 in dog podcasts.
You listen to any good dog podcasts?
No.
I wait for Christmas time.
Before we listen to dog music podcasts.
Why aren't there secular dog music albums that have really made it big?
Like dog covers of Soundgarden?
Yeah. Oh, my doggerito bill, you know?
There'd be a lot more Pearl Jam, I think, than we were listening to Pandora. We were listening to Pandora in the car around Christmas time, and my kid doesn't really like glom on to kid music. It just never seems to. She likes the songs they sing in the shows she watches, and she likes Twinkle Twinkle and that kind of stuff, but like the things that are aimed at kids for music, which is typically pretty terrible, she doesn't seem to care too much for it. But we were like, she seems to be kind of paying attention to like Frosty the Snowman stuff this time of year. Mm-hmm. So we turn on a kid's station, and I think that was one of the first things that came up was like Dog Jingle Bells or some shit. And I'm like, God damn it. Pandora, I can't even fucking. I think I put in like Jingle Bells, and like the first fucking thing was like chipmunks and dogs sing Jingle Bells terribly. Thank you.
That's what the people want.
And then there was like almost like Christmas. The second thing was like a kids bop version of something. And there's something.
Goddamn kids bop.
There's something terrifying about it's like. You've got an 11-year-old singing a song about a blowjob, and just because you've taken the blowjob part out and replaced it with like toys or something, it's like
story of my life.
There's like a kids' bop of like Lollipop by 50 Cent, and it's like, but it's literally a lollipop in a candy shop. You know, they're I'll take you to the lollipop. Yay, gonna go get some nerds at the candy shop. Woohoo!
This song's not about
cocks and dicks. Yeah. Like. But I know they're singing about dick sucking, and so it's not you've not removed the intent of Mr. Sense original recording, I suppose.
Mr. Sense.
Mr. Sense, control Mr. yourself. Sense. Control yourself, I say. I said good day, sir. Mr. Sense, behave. Whatever. They need like Kidz Bop Nine Inch Nails songs are still going to be about killing yourself. You know? It doesn't matter what voice they're sung in, how auto-tuned they are. I don't know why that reminded me of this, but there is inappropriate things being disguised. I don't know. There's a billboard that pops up around Dallas for a local sort of family dildo shoppery.
Emporium.
Dildoery.
Where is this?
Sarah's Secret. is the dildo shop that'll be like next to a Krispy Kreme and a postal center.
The old dildery.
Yeah,
dilderdashery.
Haberdilder. Cocksmith. I don't know. Yeah. So anyway, the funny thing to me is that, first of all, there's nothing wrong with a dildo shop, but it is going to be like, you're going to be like in the parking lot of a Bennigan's, and there's like a Eagle Postal Center, a car stereo place, and then a dildo shop right next to it. It's Sarah's Secret.
Everything like, in one place.
Yeah. The one-stop shopping. It's all of my needs. And, so anyway, there's a billboard for these guys that says like Sarah's Secret. And then there is a picture of a terrified cucumber.
Yep.
And it says, stop vegetable abuse.
Yeah. Seen that.
I can't wrap my mind around.
Is that a veggie tail?
First of all, it looks exactly like really, a veggie tail.
Because it's got the eyes.
I don't think Jesus would approve of. But the message of this billboard is, ladies, for the love of God, stop fucking produce and buy yourself a dildo. All of your produce is getting wasted by being fucked when people could be eating it. And I hope you're not serving it afterwards.
Do your vagine a favor. Put down the salad and pick up some fake meat.
Stop fucking salad and get a fucking dildo.
To be fair, it's a positive message. I mean, you know.
It's sex positive, sure, but.
Like vegetable positive.
I guess it is. I guess in a way. I don't know. I mean, if you were managing to, like, use that to tenderize the vegetables and then you're making a stew or something, I don't know. Maybe you could.
Wait.
Cook off the vagina or something. I don't know how that would work.
Were those euphemisms?
I don't think so. That's the problem. This billboard confuses you. I think you should just donate them to a homeless shelter afterwards. They would be, I think hobos would be very enthusiastic about those vegetables.
Pre-marinated.
Roger could use them to entice people into his van.
Mm.
Do you want this cucumber? This ear of corn? This gourd?
This horn o'plenty?
Yeah. There's certain things that you're like.
As though I was almost there with just the produce and getting him in the van, and this is just putting him over. Like, I wasn't going to.
Why do you have a cornucopia? Like, I really want you
wait
to get
until
in my
I
van.
Tell you where they've been.
I really want you to here. Get in my van. First of all, just come closer. Help me with my couch. I feel like the billboard would have had a different message if it had been something impossible to put in a vagina, like a pumpkin or a watermelon.
That's not impossible.
Wait a second.
Wait.
Well,
so I've read.
It depends on how many kids she's had, I suppose. Anyway.
How many vans you've owned.
Yeah, what if it was like a van with anthropomorphic eyeballs? It's like, stop van abuse. Stop fucking vans. I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about. But anyway, the message, if you're going to take anything from this podcast.
What was the point of this story?
I forgot where we started.
It was something about how that exists, and I don't understand it, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, the children seeing the veggie tails and the vaginas, and that's not cool.
I guess. Like, yeah, is there a kid that can read going like, Mommy, what's wrong with the cucumber?
You know
like,
there is.
What is the veggie tail? Let's say that veggie tail's name is like Albert or something. It's like, Mommy, why is Albert sad? Well, because Mommy put Albert in her no-no spot.
And whenever she does that, Jesus cries.
Jesus gets out the ranch dressing.
And then they're going to want to go to the store so they can help.
Yeah, I mean, they want to save the cucumber.
Mommy, save Albert. Don't put him in your snoo-snoo.
Is he a prince?
Yeah, I don't know. He should have a big ring right through his nose, though. Let's see. We talked about the red state thing. I think we reached some sort of non-conclusion on that, but
good for the industry.
We didn't actually talk about the movie at all, though. I'm interested. The reviews are very 50-50. Like, man, this is if Kevin Smith tried to make a horror movie, and this is a pretty good horror movie. So I'm interested to see the actual film.
So it's one part horror movie, one part social commentary, political thing.
It's about a fundamentalist Christian nut job sort of Westboro Baptist guy who I guess murders people. I don't know.
I thought it was zombies or something.
I don't think so.
No?
I believe it is the villain is the patriarch of this Fred Phelps type family. And these kids stumble into his compound.
Is this going to be like Reaper?
What's that?
The show that was briefly on, like, the WB.
Oh, Reaper was the fake Dead Like Me.
Yeah, and it was like, was he a producer or like?
No, I don't think it's Supernatural.
Co-writer or something.
I don't think it's Supernatural.
No, but I don't mean Supernatural, but just in that sort of like, dick and ball joke. Oh, shit, someone just died.
You know? Oh, no, I don't. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I feel like, look, Kevin Smith. What's so bizarre to me is he's such a good storyteller. I feel like he really does have a problem with writing believable dialogue in any way whatsoever. I think he goes for the quip in every single line.
I think you have to willfully sort of suspend your disbelief when you're
like, no way people talk like this.
No real people talk like this all the time.
Yeah.
And when Clerks came out, people were like, oh, I wish people talked like this all the time.
The world would be so great if we all talked like this. And then you try. But it turns out just saying fuck balls every 3 seconds doesn't work. it's like Dawson's Creek. You know, you've got like 11-year-olds talking like they're Harvard professors. And
I don't want to wait.
This is sort of, and you don't want to wait for your life to be over. You really, really don't.
Sorry.
Whatever happened to James Vanderbeek, man?
He's got that website.
He was in a Kevin Smith movie.
The Vander Memes website where he's doing all the different emotions.
Oh, I didn't know he was the one behind that.
That's
I'm sure that's paying the bills.
Well, you know, I imagine he hasn't done anything else that I was just assuming it was a Vanderbeek production.
He was in that last Jay and Silent Bob movie. And then Joy Lauren Adams, of course, as we know, is in a castle spire somewhere in Romania. Tom Cruise has the key around his testicles, I'm sure. poor girl. Said such promise. She is sort of she's like a prisoner of war. At this point, if you ever see her out in public, she just looks so scared.
She was like the more accessible. What's her name with the lemon face? Renee Zellweger.
Oh, Renee Zellweger. Who the fuck is Renee Zellweger? Yes, Renee Zellweger. She also has. I dare to say it for anyone else that has seen. The fuck is that movie called? Shit, Tilda Swinton was in it, and Greg Kinnear, and her. I'm not talking about Joy Lauren Adams. I'm talking about Joe. Oh fuck, I'm sorry. I'm talking about Joey from Dawson's Creek, who was played by Tom Cruise's wife,
Katie Holmes.
Katie Holmes. That's why the thing I was saying didn't make any sense. That's why none of that made any sense.
But it was still believable. I could see Tom Cruise. Doing
Joey
that
Lauren
with her
Adams
too.
Does look a lot like Renee Zellweger. But have you seen her? She was on Party Down the last season.
Oh, no.
She didn't look good anymore. She kind of lost it. She looks old. Looks real old. Oh. She looks like she had work and now she's suffering because of it.
Mm.
Like the rest of her body aged, but the work didn't.
No,
I was talking about Katie Holmes. I'm sorry. She's the one in a tower in Romania and Tom Cruise has the key. She also she was in a movie with like Tilda Swinton and Greg Kinnear. It's called The Gift. It was called The Gift. And she has perfect breasts, completely, 100% perfect in every way.
Greg Kinnear.
Greg Kinnear.
Now I know that is the movie that's from.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That part of the internet came from that movie.
Sure.
That part of your brain.
Speaking of breasts, I saw Patton Oswalt in Big Fan recently.
Oh, my God.
Have you seen that?
Holy Jesus, that movie.
It's a mind fuck of a movie.
That movie frightens me.
I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it?
It's... No surprise.
Well, we
have you seen Inception yet?
I did.
Oh my God.
Oh, there you go.
Did you know that Bruce Willis was dead the whole time?
This is why you bought the van. Because you're going to... Okay.
Oh, are we in the van right now?
Let's look out the window and see what direction the water is.
It's entirely
raining.
Possible. It's driving off a cliff.
Okay, I don't want to forget to talk about Big Fan, but have you seen the guy that made the YouTube video, the 4UP video of Inception in real time?
I have not seen
I'm aware of it.
So you know how, level after level, perception changes. The whole movie takes place in the span of like 7 minutes after they get in the van.
Right.
So the guy runs the van clip in this corner, and then the next level, the next level, the next level. And by the fourth level, it's just moving at the speed of light, basically. But it's very bizarre to see it lined up. And it right. does line up perfectly. Like, it's really, really weird.
It's because the movie is still happening right now.
Shut up. So, okay. So, big fan. Patton Oswalt made this movie. Very uncharacteristic for him. He's probably the funniest working stand-up comedian, I would say. I will listen to and or watch anything that he is on. Just the words out of his mouth are
always,
music to
yeah,
me.
Always interesting.
He's a wonderful chef, too.
Did not know that. Oh, is a mouse?
In rat form.
Mouse chef?
In rat form.
Yeah, he is a mouse chef. But the this movie is actually a sports movie, and he's not a sports fan, and I'm certainly not a sports fan. But the whole purpose of this movie is there's this guy who is the only thing he has going for him in his life is his love of the Giants, I believe, right? The
yeah.
Giants?
Okay. He's like a toll guy.
Like that's parking, his job? Parking lot attendant, a parking oh, garage okay. attendant. Yeah, yeah. So he's got no life. And he lives for calling into this local Giants radio show and reading these pre-written, like in spiral notebook, rants about how the Giants are going to kick ass on insert whatever team. And they're... He's so jazzed about it and so pumped about it. And his mom's yelling at him through the wall in the other room because he lives with his mom. And they're so bad. They're terrible. They're just not funny. He's like,
he's a man child too.
Yeah. Right. He's completely regressed and the rest of his family is successful. But he's like, oh, Philadelphia better bring their knife and fork so they can eat their words.
God. And he works really hard.
Right, you can tell.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's scratching it out and rewriting it. And he's like, oh, shit. This one's a winner. And then his buddy calls him as soon as he's off. He's like, oh, my God, that was so fucking great, dude. Oh, it's fucking great. You know, and that's all they've got. That's all they've got. And you're about 10 minutes, 20 minutes in, you're like, well, is this it? I mean, yeah. I'm going to watch this guy be a fat fucking sack of shit for the rest of the movie. And that's the end, you know? So there's this fictional quarterback for the Giants named Quantrell Bishop, QB, and they see him at a gas station. He's in an Escalade with 10 of his homies.
I believe
you know?
It was an escapade.
It was an escapade.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, Roger. You're the van expert here.
What is how does Roger Court rule on escapade versus Escalade?
That's guilty of transportation.
So they see him at this gas station and they follow him and they're like just hoping he's going to stop so they can have an experience with him somehow. And I really do want people to watch this movie because it's very unique. It's not pleasurable. It's a lot. It's almost uncomfortable to watch all of it. But if I said any more, it would basically give away the whole reason for watching the movie. But his life takes a very interesting turn after an encounter with this hero of his, which you have to take into perspective. One thing I didn't realize is he's like 40, 42 or something living at home. And this person he idolizes is like 24,
sure.
You know, and a multimillionaire. And just sort of how his dedication to the concept of this team and the fact that they should win every game they play overshadows the most dire of circumstances, like life and death, you know, freedom, all of that. Nothing matters as much as enjoying the sporting antics of the New York Giants. Right. You know, I don't know.
It's not as far as uncomfortable, you know, to watch. It's not unlike 1 hour photo.
It is a lot like 1 hour photo.
I was going to ask. It sounds,
but
like
it's actually even more realistic than 1 hour photo. Mm.
Yeah, because this guy's out there. You know, like 1 hour photo was a little bit extreme, but I feel like there's a lot of this guy.
Super believable. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
The people that I know that are into sports, like I listened to the Sklarbro Country podcast, who I designed the shirts for, and the Sklar brothers are giant sports fans, and I'm obviously not, but I really enjoy their podcast because it is. It's about 40% focused on sports, but it's like they're not just reciting stats or talking about the results of a game. they're having conversations about things they enjoy and sports come up. And so you can still, even if you don't know what they're talking about, you can follow along.
Well, that's why Eli's such a big fan of the Ticket radio station here. Yeah. Same thing. I'm sure you've heard it many times.
I've heard it many times.
Because they don't actually talk about sports.
So anyone who feels like that would appeal to them, please check out Sklarbo Country. It's a great podcast. And earwolf.com is where you can find that, or on iTunes. But the they talked to Patton about Big Fan. And the thing that I thought that was kind of interesting that resonated with me is like, it doesn't matter what you're like geeking out over, whether it's Thor or sports or the Giants or whatever, or cars or whatever it is that you're obsessed with. You can lose yourself in any obsession, and then you become sort of indistinguishable from like a mouth breather comic book fan. Which is actually kind of what he is. Like, Patton Oswalt's a huge, not a mouth breather, but he's a huge comic book nerd. And he will, you know, he'll get into a fight with you over continuities and shit like that that he knows more about than you. And sports guys are like that too. And I almost feel like there's a common ground to be found in the sadness. Like, oh yeah, we've got those sad guys too, you know? Like, and sports guys have those sad guys. Hey, we can all be bros. Like, we're not so different, you know, after all.
Pat, it's kind of funny. There's like an inverse relationship into the career paths of Patton Oswalt and Mr. Kevin Smith, whom we were talking about earlier.
Who was that again? We talked about for 45 minutes? Yeah, go ahead.
You know, because Kevin Smith is now going the stand-up storytelling route.
Right.
And Patton Oswalt is kind of going the movie star route and being more of, you know, that whole thing. So it's just kind of...
Well, Kevin Smith's both, also a huge sports fan, too.
That is true. Big hockey fan. Big hockey fan.
I tried to listen to – now, I know that he does like 7 different podcasts now, but when he used to just have the Smodcast with him and his friend, is it Jay Mosier is the other guy on it?
That'd be the producer of all his films. Yeah, Scott Mosier.
Scott Mosier. Okay, yeah. Okay. So I downloaded like 3 of them maybe 2 years ago. And every word of the 3 that I downloaded at least were about hockey. And so I was like, okay, not for me. Yeah. I bet he probably stopped talking about hockey like the next episode, but I, you know, that was also a long time ago. But anyway, so I recommend it. Recommend Big Fan. It was on Netflix streaming the last time I checked. And so it's a weird one. You would probably never watch it twice. I can't imagine wanting to see that twice, but it was very interesting. It's also funny that when it's over, you realize that almost the entire film never had more than like 2 people on screen at one time. Mm. Yeah. And it was pretty much all like in a bedroom. You know,
he really carries that whole movie all by himself, really.
I mean, absolutely. I also feel like I think it's maybe unfortunate that I bet a lot of people won't see that, because I bet he could really do some awesome dramatic roles.
Yeah.
Given the opportunity.
Pretty sure it's around the corner.
The other thing that he talked about on a recent interview that I heard, I can't remember what show it was, some podcast, it might have been Marc Maron, that he is involved in rewriting like half the movies that come out. Like when a movie comes out with like, you know, written by, there's typically about 30 people that wrote something.
Are you talking about Oswald?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a fixer?
He's a fixer. He's a punch-up guy. So they'll send him a script, and he might add 4 lines to it, you know, and he might who maybe gets $100,000 for it, you know, who knows. Right. But he'll add like 4 or 5 jokes to a movie, and then they may not even use them all, you know, but it's just one of the many things he does. He has a book out now, The Zombie Spaceship Wasteland.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Which are his, they're just sort of stories about his life, and I definitely want to check that out. But he was promoting that and talking about how now with what he actually wants to do, taking up a lot of his time, he turns down Hollywood constantly to just add jokes to movies. Mm. Or like they'll bring in him and like Brian Posehn and like 4 other guys and like, here's our script. You guys eat donuts and smoke pot in this room until we have 5 more jokes, because we need 5 more big laughs. And then what a weird job, you know?
It's a great job.
I'd do it. I mean, shit. There's a lot of stand-ups that are involved heavily on the writing side. You don't realize it because that doesn't get put out there as much. You know, like Tom Lennon and Ben Grant from The State and from Reno 911.
Oh, yeah, you'd mentioned this before.
They write all these family films.
Tom Lennon is like, yeah, listed under IMDb for all these family kid films.
And see, I think these are things that like Patton's probably not listed for. Like adding five jokes to a movie probably doesn't get you a writing credit.
Would you want to? Would you want to be though? I mean,
Maybe not. Yeah, who knows? Right. I mean, I'd kind of rather just
still cash the checks.
I would be Alan Smithy for that and just cash the checks.
But man, that would be kind of an awesome job. I would dig that. And I feel like pretty much anybody with a general comedic sense could write what Hollywood wants out of a joke,
what,
you know?
Yes, what Hollywood
not
thinks.
Not a Patton Oswalt level joke, but a mainstream Hollywood joke. I think you could, given like a two-page scene, and they say we need one laugh in this, I bet you could.
Then you just take out the notepad and you write in quotes.
Fart.
Say what?
Yeah, say what?
Done.
Farts twice, add fart noise, animal that talks, fart noise. Over-the-top gay character. Walks into frame, calls somebody girlfriend, and then leaves. Oh, there's a snap, and then leaves.
Some confetti.
Speaking of over-the-top gay, one of the things I wanted to talk about that was on TV recently,
a gay version of the movie Over the Top, starring Sylvester Stallone.
It was still arm wrestling, but it was nude Greco-Roman arm wrestling.
And it wasn't arms.
I just watched Rocky III, which would also fall under that category. It's just for the record.
That's the movie.
Incredibly gay.
There is a
beach running scene.
A geek version of Project Runway now on Sci-Fi called Face Off.
Oh yes. Oh,
have you seen that?
I've seen
You were apparently enthusiastic about it. I saw one episode of it so far. I plan on checking it out, but it's basically Project Runway for creature effects makeup.
I am sucked into that show.
That's pretty cool, huh?
I am sucked into that show, believe it or not.
I liked it. Now they aren't making creature effects makeup every time, but it's basically Project Runway. They're the designer or whatever, and then they've got models and they've got assignments and they've got your assignment this time is to make this guy an alien, you know, and here's all the materials you need, and pretty fucking interesting.
Go ahead.
Are they all reasonably talented, or do they have those few people that are there just to show you bad you can make
them? No, there's one guy that's there who is marginally talented, but he's still there because he's a giant prick.
Sure, and so you
He would have been fired on like the third episode, probably.
He should have been fired immediately.
Yeah, but it's one of those things where, I mean, you'd have to be really, really naive to think that reality shows aren't more produced than most produced shows, you know? And so even in a show that's a contest where maybe even the results aren't even close to fixed or maybe just a little bit fixed, you know they're saying, oh, don't fire Freddie over there because he's a fucking dick. And we're getting great sound bites from him.
You need an instigator. You need someone who's attractive. You need some sort of weird romantic, what have you. You need all kinds of conflict. And season three watched episode three last night.
Which one was that? I saw the airbrushing bodies one. The body painting.
That was
one.
Episode two.
Okay, that's all I've seen.
Yeah.
Okay. And I wanted to see the alien one after that, but. Yeah, the one guy, and I don't know any of their names, but the one guy that's just a giant fucking dick, basically like half-asses everything, and then he's like, you have 8 hours to do this. And he's like, I'm done in an hour, bitches! And then he sits at his desk and reads a book. Like, fuck everybody.
Or if not that, he walks around and sniffs at other people's stuff. What are you doing? It sucks.
Now, the last time around, they really did fire the guy who just beefed it. They were given photo backdrops, and they had to paint a completely nude model into a photo backdrop.
Sure.
And so your first instinct is to think, oh, it's going to be one of those things where you like disappear them into the photo.
Camouflage.
A few people did that. Mm-hmm. A few people made them sort of a part of it. Like one of them was all fish. And so this chick painted a girl like a fish, but it was like not blending in. She was like a human fish or something, you know? And one guy, he got a tornado background. And he just kind of shittily painted some jewelry and a headband.
You're talking about Eli's cousin.
He looks
Sergio.
Yeah, he looks
He's from San Antonio.
He is, really?
He looks like a guy's like, oh, man, I probably went to high school with a guy just like that. He ain't gonna last.
I feel bad, though, because I don't know how he was in the other episodes, but he had a good attitude, but he just kind of beefed it. He sat there for like 4 of the 6 hours not knowing what to do. And then in the end, he just kind of like
He wasn't disciplined enough.
Yeah,
with his own work.
But the guy that's a giant douche showed like open disdain for his model. Like
That was sad.
He never introduced himself to the model. He immediately turned him around facing the canvas, facing the print, because he didn't want to see his dick. He was begging the girl next to him not to take the last girl because they were the last two to pick models. Mm. He's like, I can't work on a fucking naked guy. Like, oh, shit. So the first thing he does is, like, turn the guy around and makes him look away from him, you know?
And then he just leaves him there.
And he put a lampshade on his head.
Yeah.
To disguise him as a lamp. And then when the contest was over, he just walked away and the guy didn't know it was over. And so the guy just stood there with a lampshade on his head.
Wow.
So I feel like every time I like a reality show, I feel like I'm being suckered. But if I'm entertained, I'm fucking entertained. Yeah, so
I'm not one for reality TV, but that show and Top Shot. Are the two
The Marksman show.
Yeah, the new season just started, and it's kind of
on history, right?
It is on history.
History is just full on giving up.
There is no history whatsoever in that damn show.
No, there's history involves guns.
There's as much there's as much history.
People have been shooting for a long time.
There's as much history in that show as there is in American Pickers.
Look, if you look back at your history textbook, almost every chapter begins with somebody being shot. So
it was heard around the world, and
exactly whatever. But history, you realize they had fully given up when they changed their slogan to history being made every day, and it's that just means stuff.
Yeah,
that there's a big difference in history and some stuff that's happening right now. You know, but. The problem is when you realize your network audience has shifted, they like the one thing you did as a lark that ends up being the thing you want to try and replicate. You can't change your name and then be like, okay, we're not really the History Channel. Now we're the Rustic Reality Channel, you know?
Yeah,
like,
they're going to end up here within the year probably changing the spelling of the word history.
It's with a Y.
Yeah. H-Y-S-T-O-R-I.
It's like, is that the Hysterectomy Channel? What is this?
It's his... It's his, and then it's like some stories, some dudes and stories. But it sucks because their reality shows are typically pretty good. They're of the crop that is available. They seem to be less scripted, and unfortunately, with a show, for instance, American Pickers, which we talked about last time you were here, which we both love. That's a great show. It just really is a great show, and
I want to do that. I just want to drive a van around. Hey, Roger, you want to?
You're on to me, dude.
And just go dig around through other people's shit.
I want to do the digging, but I don't want to have to leave with any of it.
Well, I don't.
I feel like that's the bad part.
I don't want to have to pay for any of that shit.
Yeah, exactly.
They got to carry around a lot of cash on them.
I've seen, you know, there have been a few times where you see them drop like 10 grand. And you're like, well, how much is in that? If I see that van, I think I'm going to rob that van.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with
Roger.
I'm gonna go with one of the Top Shots guys, and we're gonna hold up that van. But
and bring along someone from Face Off to freak them the hell out.
Yeah, no, we'll get all dressed up like aliens, and then we'll shoot them to death and steal their money. I don't know, but that show's amazing. But you can always tell when there is a real show. The premise is good enough that you don't need to inject drama. I mean, the premise is. Dig through these people's shit, and then the shit you find is interesting, or we only show the interesting shit.
Right.
You don't need to make them fight, you know? So you can tell when there's a scripted moment. Like they call back to the store and talk to Danielle or whatever, and she's like, guys, I want a raise. And they're like, you can't have a raise, Danielle. And I'm like, oh, fucking stop it.
Yeah,
just go to the next dilapidated barn and find motorcycles.
Come on, guys. I don't want to clean this stuff anymore. I want to go on a pick, too. Which actually was cool. I liked it when she went out with
And
with
part of
Mike.
It was real, but the setup, you can tell
it's,
when...
Yeah, it's like, come on.
You seriously. Can tell when there is a person who is comfortable speaking, but not comfortable speaking lines.
Yeah.
And so their meter and their cadence changes to be like, I don't know, maybe we should blah, 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 blah. And then they're super comfortable talking about 1940s baseball memorabilia or something like... But that's a fantastic show. I wish they could do it without injecting any of the drama. I used to really, really like that show, Miami Ink, the tattoo show.
Yeah, it used to be good. Well, it was good when it first started.
Yeah, and then they had a great season, and then they have like two more not so great seasons. But then they spin it off to Kat Von D's show, LA Ink.
Yeah,
her exiting of Miami Ink was so scripted and bullshit that you're like, oh no, what's going on? Like. They were like, fuck you. You're a fucking bitch. Get the fuck out of my shop. The episode ends, and it's like, premiering next season, Kat Von D and L.A. Inc. It's a whole new shop.
Well,
no, I'm like, they put that together quick. Yeah. Like,
did you ever watch American Chopper at all?
Yeah, I've seen all of them.
So are you current to what's going on?
Yeah.
Junior versus senior?
Yeah, I love
it. Oh, man.
I love it.
That is not scripted.
No, it's not.
They actually had a special show.
That's what's terrifying about it.
To explain, none of this is scripted. This is all actually happening.
I remember, because that show followed such a weird arc. The arc was, I am fascinated by watching these people use their skill to do something I don't know how to do.
Sure.
In spite of themselves most of the time.
Right, right. Season one of American Chopper, they're working out of a room as big as this office.
Yeah.
They're struggling. They're still building their fame, and you're watching extraordinary things happen to regular dudes. Then they get pretty famous, and then the show starts to get kind of shitty. All of a sudden, they're not trying quite so hard on the bikes, and they're kind of like, let's take the frame in the tank we always use and paint the Aragon logo on them or whatever. Right. And you're like, this is pretty shitty. And then, you know, Junior's head gets kind of inflated, and then they stop building bikes, basically, and they have about 45 minutes of the father and son fighting. Mm-hmm. And I cannot stand listening to each people argue. It's stressful.
Rah, rah, rah. Rah, rah, rah.
Yeah, it's just like dogs barking. It's like two dogs barking at each other.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. Whose side are you on?
Well, I can get into that. And that's probably going to be – I think that'll be it for the show. We'll finish this out. So we will you know, we didn't have a whole lot in the mail sack or the calls this time, so I think we'll probably save those for later. And there will be a post show where we may continue some of this. I've also got for the post show a list of the 10 greatest starships of all time.
Oh, hell yes.
Which I haven't read, but I think we'll go over that.
So, I would like to hear Roger's ruling on that.
If you do...
How many of them look like vans?
Well, Roger Court... Well, there should be one at least.
There
if we
should
go
be
Spaceballs.
One, actually.
If we go
yeah.
Spaceballs, there's at least one. But,
come on, Winnebago.
If you do want to get access to the post shows, go to vault.hijinksandsue.com. Make a donation one time and get access for 1 month. Or do a rolling subscription for as low as $5 a month and get all of the Vault content. You're going to get hundreds and hundreds of hours of bonus podcast material. You can listen to the Uncut podcast, which is typically 30, 40 minutes longer than the regular one. We basically just leave the tape rolling during the whole episode between segment breaks. And there might actually be something you want to hear in there. And you've also got desktop wallpapers, iPhone wallpapers, all kinds of stuff at the Vault. So either go to vault.hijinksandsue.com or hijinksandsue.com/donations. Sign up, get that content, and support the podcast and the comic and my ability to continue making them. And I'd super appreciate it. Also, we are sponsored by Infinistorm. Check out infinistorm.com/hijinks for virtual private server hosting. I know I went through probably 4 or 5 mediocre hosting solutions, shared hosting solutions, and eventually had to upgrade to the big boy server. And they have been extremely supportive, and they're always there when I need help. So infinistorm.com/hijinks. Check them out. So, to finish up the show, American Chopper, Junior versus Senior, by the time the show started to lose steam is when I was completely losing interest. It was two dogs barking at each other, and then the bike started taking 2 episodes. Remember that?
Yeah.
It used to be one bike per episode.
Will they finish? And I don't know. Come back next week and find out.
Well, it wasn't even that. It was that you're taking 2/3 of the show to have them fight.
Right.
And then, they started injecting, let's send the whole crew out to race go-karts.
I was just going to say,
I don't give a fuck.
How many bikes can you make when you're
give a shit. Yeah,
racing exactly. Your Humvees?
You can always tell when Discovery was stepping in and making things happen.
Right.
Like, oh, Jesus. Like, I don't want to watch Mikey
get a perm or
play paintball or fucking anything at all or try out his stand-up. I don't give a
eat
shit.
A sandwich.
Oh, man, I missed that one.
Oh, man, it was bad. It's bad, bad, bad. And, so anywho, the show, I'm like, oh, it's just losing steam. Their bikes aren't as creative anymore. They hate each other. I can't stand the fighting. Then it gets canceled. Not only canceled, but very unceremoniously canceled. It was like watching an episode, and it's like, tune in for the series finale of American Chopper. It's been building for 5 years, father versus son, blah, blah, blah. And it was just a regular episode. They obviously did not know they were canceled, you know? And so I look it up, and they're like, yeah, we had no fucking clue, you know? And it was a pretty lackluster final episode. They built some shitty bikes. So you can also tell that their clientele stopped being like Intel and Cat and giant movie studios and started being like, you know, Bob's Theme Park in Wisconsin. Right. We have an awesome roller coaster. And
so they're like Junior's clients now.
Right. So here's what happens. And I almost apologize to people that don't watch this show, but this story really is kind of fascinating. And I'm very intrigued by it. Cause I have been watching it since episode one. It's been fucking like 6 years now. And, so they get uncancelled after, again, that special sort of reveals all of this. They get uncancelled when, Junior decides to open up a competing bike shop down the street
Junior
from his dad.
Was fired.
Yes, he was fired, and again he probably shouldn't have been, he probably should have been, because he just should not have worked there. But what's happened since then, I find it's almost as if Junior has time traveled back to season one.
Yeah,
and he's doing the thing that I loved.
Yep,
he is skillfully and by hand designing motorcycles, building them just under the wire. He's understaffed, you know. He's got a little bit better equipment than they had in season one, so he's got a bit of a leg up, and he's got a little bit of fame, so people are going with him and
they've got the experience now too.
Right.
Except he still doesn't even have a fully staffed shop. No. He has to fly people in to do metal fab, and you still don't know if it's going to turn over at the end. You know, you don't know if they're going to make it.
Feel still.
Yeah, and there's the tension is for the right reasons. And again, for the same reason that people like to watch me draw sometimes when I broadcast online, it's like you like to watch people do stuff that you don't know how to do that seems hard. You know, I would probably watch a guy make a clock, you know, if it seems fucking hard, you know. So his piece of it feels like what I used to like. The OCC side, I wish they would just stop filming there altogether.
That's the thing. If you were to split those shows
couldn't carry
there's
it.
There's no way.
That's the show that got canceled.
Yep.
Because first of all, they got right after they built that like $11 million facility.
Yeah.
Then they fired like 4/5 of their staff. They had like 60 employees.
They
now they have
afford
like
them.
They have like 15. And I'm like, you have done what every small business I've ever worked for does when they're like, guys, we fucking made it. It's time to start making some mistakes. We've got some money.
It's time to start buying a bunch of shit we wish we had before, but really don't need now
we've
because
got
we
some
did
money,
well without it.
It's time to lose it all, you know? And it's like, you know what? Having that giant fucking crazy ass building that could never be resold.
Nope.
Never
totally
could it be
customized.
Used for anything else. Other than, I mean, God damn it. It's just crazy. It's no one else would ever need like a 8,000 square foot retail store
in the shape of our logo.
Yeah, exactly. In the shape of the Orange County Chopper logo. The whole building looks like a motorcycle.
It's a functional motorcycle.
Yeah. They're not going to be able to put a Safeway in there.
And Senior's face is like carved into every tile and every brick.
Yeah. That will not be a CVS pharmacy in a year. So they do all of that. They in the most recent episode they get foreclosed on, which you could, did you notice how they showed a few out of order in the most recent episode? They went to Florida and swam with dolphins.
That's old.
And they showed that maybe 6 episodes ago when the OCC guys photoshopped in Senior in that picture,
in the group picture.
So that was kind of wondering what was going on there, but anyway. So they're in financial trouble. They've made terrible decisions as far as buying this $11 million facility. They have like a $6 million mortgage and like a $5 million mortgage. It's just insane.
And they're trying to sue Junior for anything they can
multiple
find.
Multiple lawsuits now.
Just to get that money.
Now, here's where this falls apart for me. This is what's so sad. And this is one of the reasons that I feel like I've been suckered, but it's my own fault. The family drama part of it does resonate with me. Because I had a dad very much like Senior, but not with the yelling. It was more of, I don't know how else to relate to you. So I'm going to be, so all I've got is negativity.
Right.
You know, like we didn't have these screaming matches, but take out the screaming. And it was a very similar relationship where it's like, I want to tell you I love you, but it comes out like anger, you You know, yeah, like that, yeah. That is, and you can tell that's what this sad old man
is.
Oh,
it's so sad.
Right.
Every time he's a bigger and bigger jerk and not what a dad should be,
it's like
you see.
He's trying to hug.
Yeah.
And it's coming out as a fist, you know?
Men can't show real genuine emotion, but.
And he's totally that. Of that ilk.
Well, he's an alcoholic and a drug addict. He ruined his family's life for, you know, 30 some odd years. He comes back and they start to do, you know, repair things or whatever. But now you can see that, first of all, I know they can edit that show to make it look as dramatic as you want, but that guy would walk in a room and go, "Fuck are you doing?" And he's like, I'm thinking. I don't know if this is the right way.
Well,
stop fucking thinking and start fucking building.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're not helping. You know, this is, you're not fucking helping.
He just fucking stands around and just looks at things and he thinks, you know, and it's like, and I'm like, oh man, we got a generation gap here.
Yeah. And I'm like, first of all, you
mentality gap too.
I think about how often I'm doing that. Like I'm if I've got writer's block, I'll go take a shower that I don't need.
Yeah.
Because it'll help me think, or
do something totally.
Yeah, I'll leave. Yeah. I'll drive. Yeah. I'll stand and stare at something, or I will sit in this chair, turn on some music, and stare.
Yeah,
and that doesn't look like work,
but it's work.
And I've always had trouble convincing people that I was employed by that. That's what I was doing. Like I'm trying to figure this problem out, and that's work. And the difference in Junior and the way that OCC builds bikes. Is he not – like I feel like something in the middle is better, but he doesn't do any drawings, doesn't do any plans until he's building. He'll do a rough sketch, and then he'll start working. And he's like, oh, that doesn't look good. I should change it while I'm doing it.
Hmm.
OCC has this kid that has like 3 Cintiqs
and
a quad-core Dell and AutoCAD, and they've worked up a perfect 3D model of whatever they're going to build, and it's approved before they build it. The problem for me is the show could just be the drawing. It's like, here's what we're going to build. And then when it's done, we built it. And all of our, here's what sucks. It's never hard for them. All of their highly skilled staff with their millions
super
of dollars
awesome
of machinery,
their
CNC machines and their auto jets and their water jets. And then they got a guy, we don't even see their guy paint it.
Yeah.
And,
we used to see that.
Yeah, when Nubby used to paint for them, and now Nubby paints for Junior.
Yeah.
And he's a fucking genius.
Yeah, he's so good.
And I want to see him paint stuff. We never see their guy paint, you know? And basically
they have a Cintiq to do that or something.
Yeah, well, their bike building process is like the two guys come out, they put the frame together, cut away to some drama, come back, it's pretty much done.
Yeah.
Because it's not that interesting to watch a machine cut out a part.
Right.
And then to see it get chrome.
It also takes like 16 hours to do it.
or overnight. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I feel like they have gotten to that point where they'll probably be out of business before too long. I can't imagine the model they've come up with is sustainable. Most of their heat has died off. And the thing that Senior never seems to understand is when Pauly left, He took with him his creativity, and that's what was special about their bikes. And every bike they've made since then has sucked.
Yeah.
I mean, they have pulled out some stuff that I didn't think was crappy, but as far as a concept that from beginning to end makes sense, because – and here's what's funny. They used to sell a bike, and then Junior would say, "I'll design it, and when we're done, we'll give it to you." Oh, you want it to be red? Okay, we'll put some red in there. The end, you know?
Yeah. Right.
Okay, that's art. When I used to sell websites, the more involved the client got and the more steps of approval you had, the worse the final product
saps
was.
Saps inspiration.
Oh, it's just horrible. Yeah. And so typically the first thing an artist would turn in would be like, pretty fucking good. And the client sees it and he's like, my wife doesn't like beige. I'm like, okay, well, the whole thing's beige, so make it green. My wife likes green.
Did you used to work for Dr.
It's
Girlfriend?
Not, yes.
My husband doesn't like that color.
And I'm like, okay, well, this isn't going to look good green. It's not just that any color. Make it green. Okay, well, it's terrible now. You know, we like stars. Put a big-ass star right there. Okay. Two roses and a heart because that's friendship. Okay, well, you've ruined it, you know.
And Junior was always pushing the envelope.
Yeah, I think
he was always pushing the envelope.
The thing that Senior keeps harping on is that Junior can't do his own metal fabrication, and I'm like,
because that's Senior's like bread and butter.
Right. Except
that's
what he started doing.
Really,
he can do it physically. He can't come up with the idea. Yeah. You know, I mean, and he talks about how the bikes are fucking better. The environment here is so much nicer, and I'm like, that's because you're not screaming.
Yeah.
All of your employees were terrified. Because you not were throwing axes through doors.
I'm pretty sure he's like on like a lot of meds too.
Mm-hmm. Well, he also like seems to do essentially nothing anymore.
He just walks around with like a cup in his hand half the time.
Yeah, which is what most bosses do at a certain point. You know,
he's reached management status. Yeah. That's what happens.
There you go.
And to me, I kind of hope that fades away and they keep doing the show with Junior because honestly, if Junior ever reaches that point, that show is going to be boring too.
Although. But, oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I was just saying, watching that creative process and knowing that it might not work is why I like that show.
As much as I am on Junior's side versus Senior's side, I'm not exactly totally advocating Junior as a true, you know, master machine designer.
No, there's a lot better. Almost every time they run one of those like biker build-off specials on Discovery, it's always better than what he does.
Right. Not to mention when he first rolled out Paul Junior Designs, apparently he spent most of his capital on fucking t-shirts and merch.
Have you ever
before anything else?
Did you ever notice that every episode he had like three different new designs?
And he's got like a different shirt for like every day. It's like in all kinds of weird, bad looking logos.
I always wondered why is he not building fucking motorcycles? Then I found out in that special that he had a 1 year non-compete.
Yeah.
So I was
trying to build his brand in the meantime.
Well, he just really
couldn't
do it. The
only things he came up with were a grill and a dog park. And he covered his truck with logos. And I'm like, what are you doing? You know?
Like, well, he couldn't do anything legally.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
But speaking of legal things, he actually totally – I don't know if it was him. It may have been whoever he hired to do these t-shirts for him. I don't know if he did it himself. It was one of his t-shirt designs. It was like a really like a splash design that, you know, goes all the way across.
I know which one you're talking about. Yeah.
With the bike, it had like a silhouette of a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Total ripoff of like another.
Not surprising.
It was a total blatant ripoff.
I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't even know, you know?
I mean, I know. He probably didn't know. Right. You haven't seen that shirt since though.
But.
Because it was a big stink on some motorcycle.
The thing that I find interesting about that is with the lawsuits and everything and the legal ramifications of all of it is it still feels like through the lawsuits, Senior's just trying to reach out. Like
He's always trying to reach out.
I don't understand why my anger isn't making you love me more.
Right.
And there was something he said recently where he was like, he sent over that photo with the kids that were visiting both shops, and he sent a kid with a photo of him and his son happy and in a pose together. And he's like, I think Paulie would like this. It was always very, very special to me. And he gets it, and he's like, okay, this is great. You're still suing me twice.
Yeah, and he always says that. It's like, you know, he sends these
You're
things
You're trying
over,
to destroy my company.
But he's still trying to bury me. I don't – fuck you, Dad. Like, really?
And see,
like,
I relate to that. I remember there being like every once in a while getting a phone call or something from my dad. It's like, hey, I just want to talk, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, you're still fucking over my mom. Like, we don't get to be friends while you're a giant, horrible douche. You know, like, it's not – I cannot take one without the other.
And that's where Mikey is. He's like, you know –
he's like, I didn't do fucking anything to Mikey. And I'm like, you're ruining his brother's business.
Yeah, and Mikey's like, I can't be, like, cool with you, Dad, when you're trying to bury my brother.
You're a bad guy. And again – it kills me that we've been talking about this for 25 minutes because because I feel like, oh, God damn it, they've suckered me in with this reality shit. But the things that I'm interested in, they're real things happening to these real people. And so it's just like if I hate to say this because it sounds like a fucking idiot, but it's like I knew these people and they're having problems and I'm interested in them.
Well, you're invested. I mean, that's...
Unfortunately. You know, and it's not – at least it's not the goddamn Kardashians or anything.
Sure. I mean, I'd rather keep – it's not like we're, you know, pining over these people because, oh, my God, you see that fight that, you know, Junior got into?
I'd rather –
with Senior at the club?
I'd rather keep up with the Tuttles than keep up with the Kardashians. Fucking terrifying. But I feel like what Senior actually wants to happen is for Junior to call him and be like, Dad,
I was wrong.
I was wrong. Right. I needed you. You were always there for me. And I think the suits will be dropped the next day.
Yep.
So interesting stuff. If you're not into American Chopper, I hope you tuned out 25 minutes ago.
It's a good armchair psychology there.
We're going to finish up episode 78. Thank you to my guest, Roger Court.
All rise. Bud Court is now in session.
Please be seated.
And Brown Dynamite, Alex Flores. Stepping in for my absent Dick Wadge that couldn't be here. And again, if you want to hear the post show that we're about to record, which may or may not involve a list of the 10 greatest starships,
I hope it does.
Better.
Who knows? Keep it a mystery. Check out vault.hijinxandzoo.com where all that's posted. Also, the uncut episode. Make a donation if you want to support. Check out store.hijinxandzoo.com if you want to pick up a t-shirt, comic print, a mug. I really like that mug that I made.
Custom motorcycles,
$60,000. It's pretty good deal. You know what? I'll make a custom webcomic for you for less than that. Like half, probably.
You'd be stupid not to.
I mean, come on.
Think about that.
Come on. That's just simple economics.
You could buy two webcomics.
Simple economics. I would sell you this webcomic for $60,000. I'd stop making it.
How much will it take to throw in a van?
Are you, Roger, if you're listening
you know what,
to this.
Right now. I'll throw that van in.
Okay. If you're listening to this.
If you buy a comic for $30,000, I will throw in the van.
If you are listening to this.
The one time offer.
Because you hate me, I'll stop for 60 grand. I can figure out something between here and 60 grand. Yeah. I'll make that offer to you right now. So thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for your support. And, That's it.
Sounds like it.
Okay.
Modern life is much too hard with no jetpacks or flying cars. This is not the future we were promised. This is not the future we were promised.
Finally, people get to hear what you really sound like.
Right, I've turned off all the effects. I want a Dalek sound. This is close.
That's pretty. You can.
Next time, I need. That kind of works.
That's pretty good.
Number 58. How quickly can I lose the entire audience doing an entire episode in that voice?
Time for the mail sack.
All right, let's see if that recorded.